All right, if you'll take your Bibles with me and please turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, the few minutes that we have together tonight, I want to continue in our series that we are doing on Teach Me Thy Statutes. Teach Me Thy Statutes. And I want to spend time tonight looking specifically at the word statutes, because that particular word, if we don't understand that word, then we'll miss the entire emphasis of what we want God to teach us. I think it's important to define our terms and to understand them in order for us to be better at understanding God's Word. The word statutes occurs 21 times in Psalm 119. It's always in the plural. It's never singular. Always in the plural. It's one of the 10 synonyms that are used for the Word of God in Psalm 119. Let me read again verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 119 as we set the stage for what we want to share with you this evening. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Father, we thank you for this time we have to study together this important word that we find especially in the Psalms, but throughout your scriptures. Very important word to us, for it details understandings of what you desire from us. I pray, dear Father, that you would give us a heart to learn tonight. Help us to push other things out of our minds and to focus together, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read the story not too long ago, and I think it kind of illustrates to us what this idea of statutes means. I was reading the story of Thomas Carlyle, who was a famous historian, writer from the Victorian era of England. As a matter of fact, Charles Dickens greatly appreciated the writings of Thomas Carlyle and used him when he wrote the book The Tale of Two Cities, dealing with the French Revolution. He used Thomas Carlyle's writings on that to form the basis of the background of that story that he wrote. Thomas Carlyle fell in love with a lady that was a literary genius. Her name was Jane Welsh, and she was very good at editing, very good at writing herself. She was always full of creative genius and power to help him frame his words a little bit differently, to communicate. He fell in love with her and married her. And they were happily married for a number of years. They worked together on much of the material that we read today that Thomas Carlyle wrote. She was kind of behind him during that time. But as the years went by, Thomas Carlyle became more and more obsessed with himself. His wife, Jane, was diagnosed with cancer. She spent countless days in her bedroom in the top floor of their apartment house there in London. And she, once in a while, he would go up and visit her. But most of his time, he was entertaining people and meeting with book publishers and things of that nature. And she became very, very ill and died. And so after the funeral, he made his way up to the room that he rarely visited in, and there he found her diary laying there beside the bed that she had passed away in. He reached over to read what she perhaps had written. Let me share with you some of the things that she put. This was an entry that caught his eye. Yesterday, he spent an hour with me, and it was like being in heaven. I love him so much. He turned a few more pages and read, I listened all day to hear his steps in the hallway, and now it is late. I guess he will not come to see me today. Carlyle read a few more entries, and the story goes that he threw the book against the wall, ran out of the room, went out into the pouring rain to the cemetery where his wife had just been buried, threw himself down on the gravesite, which was nothing but mud and dirt. And he said, if I had only known, if I had only known. Those are the words of a rebel. Those are the words of a fool. What do you mean, if I had only known? He professed his love for her, but he didn't want to get tangled up in the minutiae of what love means. Saying you love somebody is meaningless if there's nothing to back it up. There's nothing to back it up. And in this world today, Listen, Hollywood doesn't have a clue what love is, but it sets the agenda for love in this world. And don't you forget it. All around the world, Hollywood movies are viewed in India, China. You cannot imagine where Hollywood movies go, and it sets the agenda for what they call love. But it's not love. It's not even close to love. You see, people are in love with the idea of love, this concept of romance, but they don't get to the nitty-gritty of being together in a house and all the things that go with that. And as a result, they don't understand the statutes of love. And that's what we get to the meaning. You see, statutes are the underpinnings of a law. Let me try to explain further the underpinnings of law. Here's a law. Thou shalt not steal. Do you realize that there are literally thousands of statutes having to do with thou shalt not steal? They have entire statutes dealing with shoplifting. They have headings of statutes dealing with stealing intellectual property, stealing ideas, stealing cars. They have all kinds of different categories and statutes that are the underpinnings of a law that simply put is thou shalt not steal. All right? The statutes are what give us understanding about the law, what the law is saying. It breaks it down in bite-sized pieces for us. Oh, this is what they're talking about when they say thou shalt not steal. I start getting all the concepts and ideas behind that truth because the statutes explain the law. Now do you understand what he's saying here? Let's put it this way. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy special understandings of your law, the minutia. Nobody likes the minutia. We've spent the last 2 days getting ready for the history final tomorrow for my 9th and 10th graders. Oh, they're thrilled. They can't wait. Okay? I had one of them that came up to me today and said, Mr. Brainerd, I don't know if I'm going to be able to take the test tomorrow. We have a swimming party at 1 o'clock. I said, oh, you're going to be taking the test tomorrow. You'd think that I'd shot him with a gun, you know. I said, oh, no, you're going to be taking that test. We'll make arrangements for Mr. Watt. We're going to take care of that because you have to take your semester exam. It's cumulative, you see. It covers everything that we've studied. And so, you know, we got into the minutia of the course. Do we really have to know that date? Yes, you do. What was the date of Black Tuesday? October the 29th, 1929. I give them all kinds of hints. Do you think that they're getting it? I don't know. I'm going to find out tomorrow. See what kind of a teacher I am. But they're studying, trying to get all those details. Details. Those are the statutes of history. All the things. You see, Black Tuesday was the beginning of what we know as the what? The Great Depression, which did not end until 1941. That was a long time. Terrible time in American history. But that was the beginning of that. And so those are the part of the pieces of the puzzle. You have to have an appreciation for minutia. And God has in His Word, in Psalm 119 and other places, God says in His Word, He wants us to love and to seek after His statutes. We like big picture things, right? Just give me the big picture. That's all I want to know. Oh, no, that's not good enough. That's not good enough. You know, we like the big picture of a car. We were having fun with Michael. Michael's got a truck now, okay? And he's driving the truck, and he went to the gas station. Okay? And he learned a major life lesson at the gas. He found out that he has a 30-gallon tank in his truck. He has a bigger tank than what I've got in my 1500 HT. I only have a 22-gallon tank. I wish I had his tank so I could go a little bit further on my 10 miles to the gallon that I get. But anyway, he was pumping, and he said it just kept on pumping, and I kept looking up there, and I kept looking down and looking back. You know, he was hoping it was going to click. And it didn't click till after he got up to near 30 gallons. All right? That was a tough life lesson, especially when he had to go in there and pay for the gas that he had just bought. Okay? Yeah, that's part of the minutia. When my son got him a 1991 car here back at Christmas time, he's been learning about minutia. It's nice to have a car, but guess what you have to do? You have to work on them. Things break. Dad, my headlights won't come on. Well, son, looks like you're going to be working on that. Okay? And that was, you know, we have big ideas. I remember when I brought my car home from Flemington, Alabama. Did you know you could buy used cars in Flemington, Alabama? Well, my dad was driving through Flemington, Alabama. He said, Todd, I found a car for you, a 1975 Ford Maverick. I said, when can I get up there? I want to see it. So Mom drove me up there. I brought cash in hand. I got a car. I looked at that car. I said, boy, that's a nice looking car. Three on a tree. All right? It's got air conditioning. Then the guy began to give me the details. Air conditioner doesn't work. But when you're a teenager, I can fix that. You know how I ended up fixing that? I pulled the compressor out of the car. That's how I ended up fixing it. It had more leaks than I don't know what. But anyway, the first thing that I noticed when I got in and started up, it didn't have a muffler. I bought it, and I drove all the way. I was singing the whole time, couldn't hear myself. But I was singing. I was so happy to have that car, but it didn't have a muffler on it. It drowned out every thought that I had. I mean, a six-cylinder, I didn't think they could make that much noise. But I was rah, 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 going down the road. I thought it was great. You know what? A year later, I'm still fixing things on that car. I had put in an alternator, a starter. I had to pull the heads off of it because it had a blown head gasket. I had to put a battery in it. It was getting expensive. That car that I just had to have it. It was the most wonderful thing I'd ever seen in my life. Till you had to start working. That was the minutia. You see where I'm going now? That's the minutia that hits you square in the face. Now let me just say this. God's statutes are the minutia of what He wants from you and from me. Do you love His statutes? That's what the psalmist went on to say. You know, one of the testimonies about Abraham from Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 5, I wish we had time to go back and read it, maybe sometime in the near future we'll close with this. It is said that Abraham loved God, in verse 5, and kept His commandments, His judgments, and His, what's our word? Statutes. Start at the big ones, His commandments. Okay? His judgments. Now we get down to the nitty-gritty. The statutes, all the little underpinnings of that commandment, that law that God's given. Abraham not only kept the big things, but he loved God enough to keep the little things. That's statutes. Listen, folks. The psalmist 10 times uses the word teach me. 7 times he says, teach me thy what? Statutes. The little things that come together to make God's law. That's what He wants me to learn. And He says, I'm to desire for Him to teach me those things. I want to encourage you. Listen, we've got to be more than just keepers of the commandments. We got to follow all the little things that are part of the commandments. We can't just say, well, I do the best I can to keep the big stuff, you know. I don't murder people. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. I don't run and cheat on my wife. And we think, well, we've got it made if we can say we've kept the Ten Commandments. Do you know how many statutes were given to the children of Israel? I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds throughout Leviticus. You read all of those statutes that had to do with those Ten Commandments that were given, they began to realize what God was talking about. It's easy to talk about the big things. It's very difficult to deal with the little things. And so I want to encourage you, as you read the Bible, look for God's statutes. If you love me, keep my commandments. What are His commandments? They're made up of statutes. They're made up of statutes that God has given to us so that we might live the Christian life to bring glory and honor. And teach me thy statutes. Oh, that your way would direct me learning your statutes. That's kind of a paraphrase of that verse that we just read tonight there in the first part of Psalm 119. Listen, folks, as we draw nearer to the Lord's return, we're going to be tested. And if we're not keepers of the statutes, we will fail in the commandments. Are you listening to me? If you're not a keeper of the statutes, you will fail in the commandments. Because it will be easy then to just say, I don't have to do that anymore. Listen, we love what God loves and we hate what God hates. And so God help us to love His statutes. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the minutia of Scripture. Oh, it's so important. We have no right to say it's not important. We have no right to ignore those statutes that You've given to us that make up Your commands. Help us to be people of the book. It's not enough just to show up to church on Sunday and think we're going to get enough to make it through the week. Lord, we've got to be in Your Word, learning Your statutes every day, growing in grace and knowledge so that when the tests come, and Lord, we already are seeing the tests coming. They are coming down quickly. They're coming down strongly. I pray that You would help us to have our feet firmly planted upon Thy Word because we've been studying it. Help us to love Your statutes and that You might teach them to us, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.